Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria, from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
Today.
Welcome back, and I've got a new term for you, Scott Adams, the current director, CEO of Red State Talk Radio. You're the top news geopolitical ninja of planet Earth. When I listen to you, even on the 5 minutes before we went on air, I'm thinking, you can pack 3 hours into 1 hour, and you can touch every topic, clarify it, and give an analysis and solution for literally every issue that I can imagine. And I'll tell you, I'm so happy to now be able to rebroadcast my shows over at Red State Talk Radio late night, 10 to 12 Eastern, Monday to Friday, and weekends. We're soon going to have a late night show on Sunday night, which will be live so you can call in. But you're amazing, and your Red State Talk Radio, no wonder it's the number one online-only talk radio show network on the planet 5 years in a row. There's no surprise to me as to why, with the range of people you have. I went through your list of people and hosts and so on. Wow. And you got a lot to talk about today, so I'm going to let you rock and roll. You've got tons of news to go over.
Yeah, well, thank you for that. Thank you very much for that. Yeah, we're very proud of the lineup that we have at Red State and very happy that you're part of it. And we really appreciate what you bring to the table of Red State Talk Radio. And, you know, my show, the Scott Adams Show, airs live every morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Time. So if people want to catch that, and then I post the podcast over at scottadamshow.com. But yeah, the news cycle has really been kind of exciting. You know, with in my opinion, Kennedy was a really big deal. Kennedy, you know, leaving the bench and resigning,
right?
To retiring, I should say. And you know, but I think he represents about a 20% swing in the impact of the bench. You know, it's not like you're replacing a Ruth Bader Ginsburg or a Justice Breyer. You're really kind of replacing somebody who voted in lockstep with a conservative agenda at 75% of the time, whereas maybe Gorsuch or a Scalia, you know, when he was alive, was voting maybe conservative 95%.
Right.
So you're gaining a ground of about 20%, but still the liberals are really apoplectic. You know, they're going crazy. They're pulling their hair out. Now, if Trump decides to go ahead and pick a black justice, they're going to go crazy because they're not going to know what to do. But what's interesting about the dynamic and why there's, I think it's great that they're being aggressive about replacing Kennedy, is because it's going to really put people like Democrat senators who are competing for this 2018 election cycle, who are in red states, like Heidi Heitkamp in North Dakota, like Claire McCaskill in Missouri, like Joe Manchin in West Virginia. It's going to put them on the hot seat. Because what are they going to do? How are they going to sell their agenda to their constituents? So they're either damned if they do and they're damned if they don't, really, because their track record about opposing the tax cuts and opposing repeal and replace on the Obamacare already have doomed them in. But if they double down and don't support a Supreme Court nomination, it's going to be game over for them. So it's a really great political play to pick up three states that are very winnable against senators that have been, you know, multi-term senators that happen to be Democrats in red states. So I think it's a great opportunity from a political strategic perspective. Yeah. But then you have this other big thing. I think that the biggest thing that happened yesterday was the Janus decision. The Janus decision in that particular issue is so big because I remember a story in 2014, the midterm elections, where I read this article and it said $60 million was spent by the teachers union. $60 million, and 96% of the $60 million went to Democrat candidates. Now, I know that 96% of the people in the teachers' unions were not Democrat, you know, right. 96%. So, obviously, people are having to pay in and support police, kind of like Planned Parenthood, right? Planned Parenthood, they take your tax money, and a lot of people have to pay them for doing things that they absolutely disagree with, and I think that's horrible. So, you know, defunding Planned Parenthood is probably be one of the things on the blocks, but the Janus decision, $1.7 billion from big labor went out to Democrat candidates in 2016, and in 2012, it was another $1.7 billion. So you're talking about upwards of $3.5 billion over the last two election cycles, general election cycles, where the big labor benefited from those union dues that are now going to be cut off. And the way they're being cut off is the most important part. It's not an option. It's not a path to opt out. It's actually you're opted out and you have to actually opt in. It's right. A big difference than having to, you know, have you ever signed up for something that automatically renews and you can't figure out how to cancel? Well, that's the way it was set up, but not any longer. So this is going to be a major blow to big labor. SEIU, which is really nothing more than an extension of ACORN, and we know how corrupt those political efforts are.
Yeah. So, in other words, this is another sign of the death of the Democratic Party, which, by the way, has to find their soul. I was reading a report today on Drudge about Ocasio-Cortez and how, since she was a teenager, she wanted to be president. Now, this poppy-eyed maniac, people have to understand how crazy she is. There's a real good chance that now when she comes against the Republican candidate that actually is center-right, a Trump supporter, she's going to get destroyed. And here the real question is the party now the sole Mad Maxine Waters, or is it Ocasio-Cortez saying, abolish ICE and have open borders and don't even have a nation? Forget that. Just let everything be free. Free education, free technical training, free housing. Who the hell's going to pay for it?
You know, a couple of things there. Trump is very well loved in New York City, even though it's a very liberal town, and I used to live there. I can tell you a couple of things about New York 14. Where is Trump from? He's a man from Queens, isn't he?
Right.
Well, New York 14 is Queens Bronx. That's what the district represents. So, right. In my opinion, there's a huge opportunity right now because this is a 28-year-old socialist who supports impeaching 45, like Maxine Waters, impeaching right. Trump. She supports open borders, abolishing ICE, state-run housing, state-run education for universities that are in New York State. So this is pure socialism. She ran in support of Bernie Sanders. You know, she worked on his campaign.
Right.
And there's been and she's for higher taxes. She's for socialized medicine. She's a complete and total socialist. She actually makes
right.
Bernie Sanders look a little bit, you know, center-right.
That's hard to do. I call him Santa Claus. Do you like that? He should wear a little red hat with a tassel on it wherever he appears.
This she's never been vetted. The whole force of the GOP hasn't gone after her and looked into her background. Who knows what they're going to find? As crazy as her thoughts and ideas are, who knows what kind of decision she made on her Facebook 3 years ago when she was 25 years old.
Right.
You know, so you never know what you're going to find with this, but it could.
Well, I'm sure that's going to happen. I'm sure they're going to start digging, right?
That might be a very unexpected pickup for the GOP.
And I think you're right. I'm going to guess that the GOP is going to pick up six senators and about 14 congresspeople. That's yeah, my guess.
The Senate, I think you're right about that for sure. The House is what I'm worried about. This is an opportunity in New York 14. The guy that is the Republican that's running against Ocasio-Cortez is Anthony Pappas, P-A-P-P-A-S. I suggest anybody look him up.
Right. And what are his politics? He's a Trump supporter?
Yeah. Well, you know, he doesn't – he's an older guy. I saw a picture of him.
Right.
I didn't read his entire bio yet, but I will tell you that he looks like one of those standard bears that gets sent out there to be eaten alive. And Crowley's been doing it for the last 10 elections, the last 20 years.
Well, maybe he can get energized if he gets near Trump. Trump at 72 has more energy than most people in their 20s and 30s.
Yeah.
I saw him last night. I'm thinking, man, he's seeing one of my colleagues in anti-aging medicine, by the way. That's why the Patriots quarterback and Trump are seeing similar doctors. That's why he's like the Energizer Bunny up there. 4 hours of sleep, sleeping on the Air Force One and landing in North Dakota.
Healthcare reform is good.
You're an amazing analyst. I'd like you to tell us what you think is going to happen to you now in 2018, because I see a lot of amazing things going to happen. I think Trump is campaigning around for pro-Trump congressmen and senators, and it's good to see Ryan go. You're getting the dirty rat. You know, his family tied to Borden, the Democratic globalist maniac. What were David Borden? So what we're going to start seeing is we're going to see not only the death of the old Republican Party, but the Democratic Party is either going to have to get its soul back and actually start caring about people rather than going so far left they can't be elected ever again. In fact, what I see right now is the selection of this Ocasio-Cortez is basically going to say to the Democrats, do you support this craziness idea, or are you going to return to the center left so you can might even future possibly be elected? Look at this guy who got elected down in, where was it, Tennessee? I'm trying to remember this guy that was a former special forces that said he wasn't going to support Nancy Pelosi. The only way you can get elected is a Democrat if you're center left. You know, you can't be way far, so far left, and even supporting Nancy Pelosi and Mad Maxine Waters or Ocasio now Cortez, you're just, no one in the right mind will elect you. Right?
Yeah, I see that Nancy Pelosi is having a very difficult time explaining away a lot of these things. You know, like I remember when Hillary Clinton was asked, what's the difference between Democrat Party and socialism? She dismissed it. But, you know, she had to acknowledge that she was running against a self-proclaimed socialist.
Right.
And then they're trying to say, well, democratic socialism is different than socialism. And it's not. And,
no.
And you know, I remember when it's talked about that Hillary Clinton gave a speech at Goldman Sachs about open borders, and everybody was like, really? Oh, my God. I can't believe that. Now people are openly pounding their chest about open borders and the demolition of ICE, the abolishment of ICE. And, right. Of course, they say, well, ICE is new. You know, it's only been around for 15 years. You know, what are we complaining about? It was INS before that. We've always had immigration.
We always had immigration. That's crazy. If you don't have immigration control officers and you don't have a border, you don't have a nation.
Yeah, I mean, it was a new name. That's it. I mean, but, you know, the thing about it is that the Democrats are going to have a really hard time explaining their not only their plank and their agenda, because impeaching the president, which is, in essence, denying the voters' rights, is not a good policy. Open borders doesn't sell. There's no way to sell that. Getting rid of ICE and opening borders at the same time is impossible to sell. And then
raising taxes, too.
Raising your taxes. And continuing with the Obamacare that's already known to have failed and was built on a lie. I mean, so you know, the sanctuary cities... already you're starting to see a shift in the black population, and Trump has the winning argument all the way down the pike. So not only do you have the same faces, you have the, you know, Elizabeth Warren, Nancy Pelosi, Maxine Waters, and Bernie Sanders, all of them are, you know, the average age there is over 70, right? And Joe Biden, right? So you got a very old group of people that have very old ideas that aren't reflective of a younger millennial type of approach to things. The millennials are too busy, you know, in their basement playing video games. They're not voting. They're not civic minded. It's the Republicans and the conservatives that are patriotic, love America. They're civic minded, and civic minded people show up to vote. And right now, the turnout for the millennials that are basically wearing the pink hats and advocating open borders and the abolishment of ICE, they're not voters. They're not voting. And that's the biggest problem. And it's hard to also develop and build enthusiasm when you're cash broke, which the DNC is. You lost your big cash cow in the big labor with the Janus decision. And then also, you have no ideas except for anger. It's hard to get people out to vote when everything is so negative. You know, and the other part is that the Republicans have a great track record. They won the midterms in 2002. They may have took a little bit of a hit 2006, but they won in 2010, and they won in 2014. And it wasn't always because of the incumbency situation. I really believe that the Republicans have a better turnout game for midterm elections because we don't vote on ideology, skin color, gender, race, if you're Obama, if you're Trump. We vote on policy. And that's a big game changer for the Republican Party in midterms.
Well, what's also saying is people, and I hear some of these Democrats on the news, they try to say, well, Trump is uncivil. He said he paid the legal fees, and when there were people trying to invade the rallies back in 2016, they pay their legal charges if, you know, they were assaulted, whatever, at one of his meetings, and then try to say, see, it's Trump that's doing this. I'm thinking, no, I don't know any examples where the right and Republican conservatives are threatening to harass in public places like gas stations and restaurants anybody from the left. We want a dialogue. We want a solution with a health care problem that actually finds a solution. For example, I've said it on my show for the last 9 months. What Trump needs to do is break it up into pieces. He's doing it. He's passed a bill for the veterans to get access to care if they can't wait. He's put a thing to actually make drug prices more reasonable by group buying of drugs. He's by piece. Go ahead.
Right to Try was a great piece of legislation. And not only that, but what Acosta is rolling out right now with small business, you could even be a sole proprietor and get become part of an association. So he's completely done an end around to Obamacare, offering a better solution than what was even being proposed originally that McCain shot down. So when you take a look at the fact that you're going to, between now and the election, throughout this summer, you're going to see the formalized end of the Korean War. You're going to see, this embassy in full tilt mode in Jerusalem. You're going to see more advancements in the Middle East peace process, and what's happening in Iran today is really kind of connected with that. But you're also going to see our fallen soldiers from the Korean War coming home. You're also going to see more people that have been incarcerated overseas coming back home, like Trump has had a great track record with. But in addition to that, you're going to see humanitarian relief brought to the North Korean people. You're going to see an improved relationship with the announcement of Trump meeting with Putin on July 16th in Hill House, Finland. So you're going to see a lot of these relationships improving. You're going to see the Middle East peace happening. It's a lot better than it was under the Obama regime. You're going to see major developments, and then you're going to hear all this talk about Trump and the Nobel Peace Prize with all the accomplishments that he's doing. Plus, the kind of investments that are happening with Apple spending $350 billion, Foxconn just announcing today, and they broke ground on the developments in Wisconsin today with Foxconn. And when these trade negotiations start to really have a positive impact on our economy, I don't know how there's going to be any objections to the Trump agenda being the plank people want to support.
Well, I don't know. You can characterize it by even the last comedian that actually finally went to the dark side Jimmy Fallon by mussing up Trump's hair and humanizing him?
Yeah.
Sorry, guys, he's a blue-collar billionaire. I remember his son, Trump Jr., saying, you know, my dad's a blue-collar billionaire. How's that? I'm feeling so good after watching that speech last night. I had one of my best days ever. I was literally floating like I was on a cloud nine sleeping last night after listening to Trump. This guy is so real, so down to earth. He's even better than he was in 2016 when he was running election. He's more humble. He's more in touch with the crowd. He's more connected to what the people want. He's saying it's your government, it's not mine. Like you said in the break, he transferred authority from Washington, D.C., back to the people. It's amazing. I mean, I'm just beside myself thinking, well, yeah, and I'm not waiting for him to screw up. I want him to get better intel, which is why I'd like to get closer contact to give him better information about what North Korea, so he can make sure that they don't shunt things aside or send the technology to somebody else. Because remember, Iran pays $3 billion a year just to have the observation of scientists watching what's going on in North Korea, which is basically a proxy of Russia and China transferring technology to North Korea. Guess what? Trump needs to have good advisors around him, but a lot of them, I think, are either on the dark side or they're giving him partial or bad information or they're trying to manipulate him. And Trump's pretty good. He can size people up and get rid of them, like McMaster, or he got out of the government. But I'm going to tell you, he needs better advice because Trump has a good heart, but he needs to have good advisors like you and me to tell him, hey, here's what's really going on behind the scenes about classified projects. For example, he announced the Space Force. I was involved 24 years ago taking care of the people involved with the Space Force. This is nothing new. We've had a Space Force for four decades plus. Okay, so it's nothing new. Trump's just saying it openly now because Obama, the maniac, made the entire space program of NASA go dark. So nobody would know we were even back and forth to the moon. That's how bad it is. And Trump's finally opening up and saying, you know what? Space Force, Space Force. And I'm thinking, Trump, you're a genius, man. You really are. He's there telling us because he wants it to be open again. You know, he wants to know when we land a man back on Mars, we realize there's ancient monuments there. He wants to know that we've been on the moon for, you know, five decades. He wants us to know the helium-3 is the fuel that run the Tokamak fusion reactors to make limitless power on Earth. And they actually, the Chinese, 6 years ago, announced they're going to have 3,500 scientists mine helium-3, because it hacked into classified documents, to actually make tokamak fusion reactors in China to replace these stupid fission reactors, like Einstein says, you should never boil water with fissionable material. That's Einstein. And here, the Chinese, not being full of crap like our intel agencies and our companies, say, hey, we're just going to mine the stuff from the moon, because they've actually, even their moon suits and so on, are total copies of a 1960 design. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous, and Trump is going to blow that all apart. You can guarantee the space program will become public again, and we will have a space force, won't we?
Yeah. It started with Star Wars and Reagan, probably even before that. But, you know, it's interesting to see Trump at work, and he's at work while he's at play, and he makes the work look effortless.
And yeah, I know that's why he doesn't take a vacation. The man, well, he believes in staycations, I call him, where he stays home and works.
But in addition to that, you know, when the media, the mainstream media, it's amazing how partisan they are, because I believe they're smart enough to get it, but for some reason they don't tell the truth. And the truth is that when he said Rocket Man, he knew exactly. He said it at the UN. He said it in three different places. He said it at speeches, Rocket Man. And, of course, he knew that that's how he was communicating with North Korea.
Right.
And he knew that that was, in part, going to amuse Kim Jong-un, because he knew that Kim Jong-un is into video games and
right.
and into Dennis Rodman and a whole host of things. He got a personality profile on Kim Jong-un. And Kim Jong-un, young, he played that out like that. Then he pulled it back, you know, tough, good cop, bad cop kind of deal. And that worked out brilliantly. And people were complaining at the time when he was doing it. I knew all along that he had a strategy. The Rocket Man was part of that strategy.
Right.
Actually being funny while being serious.
And entertaining, too, like that little video he put together with the NSA, which shows the horse running across the water of the East Japanese Sea. I'm thinking, this is so brilliant. And I watched it. I was vivid. I couldn't even breathe hardly watching this movie of Trump said, I want you to watch this. And this is what the new Korea can be. It was like,
right.
Wow. I mean, a marketing genius, super excellente, IQ over 200. Trump did this. And people say, I don't think the left even know what to do to say about the video. They're like, speechless.
You know, Chairman Kim also said, you know, I'd like to see the inside of the beast, the car. And Trump showed him all the gadgets in the car. This is the kind of thing that Kim was all about.
He's a big kid. He's a millennial, right?
Exactly. Yeah, he's been so, you know, kind of spoiled his whole life. But,
right.
You know, but yet I'm sure Kim is a very smart man. He's overcome a lot to get to where he is. But, you know, the thing is that when Trump says we're spending $700 billion this year, $700 billion next year, on our military, and that our economy, a lot of people don't know this, and is what he would say, is double that of China. Basically saying, sit down, China. Not only is 1 year of our spending on military bigger than your whole, you know, military, but our economy is bigger and stronger than yours as well. And, you know, so a lot of this stuff is really all about gamesmanship and leverage. And everything he does is about leverage, whether it's, you know, steel and aluminum, you know, that can fortify our military. Our planes are made of aluminum. Our ships are made and tanks are made of steel. We want to be independent and strong and not reliant, but also to just put things in perspective in such a way. I mean, these speeches he gives in front of NATO or the speech he gives, you know, on behalf of his negotiations with Canada. You know,
that was funny, wasn't it? And he said Justin Trudeau stabbing him in the back. What a piker this Canadian Justin Trudeau is, pretending to be his buddy and then stabbing him in the back afterward. And Trump, of course, tweets afterwards and takes Justin Trudeau apart geopolitically.
Well, he tells a great little story and he has fun with it. Again, it's all serious business. It's all serious and calculated. He says, apparently Justin doesn't know we have 22 TVs or something like that. I don't know how many TVs, but we have 22 TVs on the Air Force One. It's a great plane.
And
no, you know how he said that, right?
Yeah.
Thing, he stabbed me in the back. He's like, whoa, what was that about?
Yeah.
And so it's great stuff. And, you know, again, I always said this. I always said that foreign policy and being a Secretary of State, I said I would rather have a horse trader from Wyoming or a cattle rancher negotiating my trade deals on foreign soil than Hillary Clinton or John Kerry, because those dodo brains don't have a business bone in their body, and a cattle rancher does. A cattle rancher knows exactly how to make a deal.
Exactly.
And that's really what world policy, foreign policy, and world trade is all about.
Right. Well, and the fact is that when he says, you know, how can Justin Trudeau justify, and their trade used to be 275% for dairy, but it went up to 300%. How can he say that, hey, we fought the First and Second World War together? How does that have anything to do with trade things where you think America is a piggy bank and you can put the screws to America? Well, you won't accept our lumber or our dairy products.
It's all really the precursor to an attempt to get a better deal. We know that we don't want to cripple Mexico. We don't want to cripple Canada because we'll have an immigration problem that's worse than the one we have now, a refugee problem. So we don't want that. We know what our line is as to.
Right.
What is economic collapse? You know, we want to win, but
yeah, we want a level playing field where there's very little or no tariffs, and it's an open playing field where we compete. Just like if you want to do bocce ball on the yard in front of a restaurant, or you want to play a sport game of like I saw, for example, the senator from Texas playing with a comedian, basically, and losing the game. By the way, the comedian lost the game against the senator from Texas. What people need to understand, Trump doesn't want a trade war. He wants reciprocal trade.
Yeah.
And anybody wants to accuse him to be a protectionist, I'm thinking, this is the opposite of Trump. He wants a level playing field so the Chinese can't dump here and then have giant tariff and non-tariff barriers. Same in Europe. I mean, it's ridiculous. Trump's going to win.
He's absolutely going to win.
By the way, if you want to listen to the show, you go to redstatetalkradio.com, redstatetalkradio.com. Scott's show is at 8 a.m. Eastern Time, Monday to Friday. And, of course, my show is rebroadcast and podcasted late night, compressed down to 2 hours from 10 to 12 midnight Eastern Time, Monday to Friday. And soon I'll have a Sunday show in the evening. It'll be live so you can ask questions. Scott's amazing. You got to listen to his show. You got to check it out. You got to start responding. Get involved. Don't just be a bystander. Scott, you got lots to say about Strzok, who was before the committee yesterday. What's going on?
Yeah, you know, it's a very interesting dynamic here because he is very guilty of a lot of things, and there's no doubt about it. And the testimony today, I think, revealed that the investigation is really still ongoing with Christopher Wray and Rod Rosenstein. You know, they were on Capitol Hill getting grilled. But Peter Strzok was there for about 11 hours and gave up very little information. So it showed that he's unwilling to cooperate. A lot of people thought he flipped, and he still might be flipping. But the problem with the flip is this, what he reveals. So the Congress wants him to reveal everything. And in exchange, they can work out some sort of a plea deal. He can't immune his testimony before Congress because then any immunity that he gets in Congress and anything he says under that immunity is not admissible in criminal court. The only leverage they have over Strzok is the criminal element. If he gets 10 years per offense, he's 48 years old. That's game over for him. That's a life sentence. So the idea is that you have this leverage over his head, which is jail time, which he does not want to do, obviously, who does? And that's the leverage they have over him. So they have to try to figure out how valuable are you, what's your testimony going to be, and if you give us the goods, we'll give you leniency. We'll give you a plea deal. The problem, unlike any other court situation, and it's always this way in government, it seems like, is the people that would actually be issuing him the plea deal for his confession are the people that he would be confessing against. Because the U.S. attorney is the jurisdiction, and the U.S. attorney represents the DOJ and the FBI. Right. So who he's confessing against are the same people that he's asking for favor from.
Yes.
It's a direct conflict and a need for an independent counsel or an independent prosecutor or a grand jury to weigh in on this in a completely different way.
It has to be on the outside, in other words, because otherwise, it's not going to work. Here's another spin I want to throw on this. And I see this with McCabe and with all these people like Andy who mentioned in his comments and so on. What people should know, Strzok is not an anomaly. Everybody, this is SOP, Standard Operational Procedure. The intel agencies, and Einstein, basically our president, Eisenhower in the 50s, warned us against the military-industrial, quote, intelligence complex. So we have to understand the intel agencies, especially since 9/11 and the Patriot Act, have taken over. Not just here. The whole world is linked with Five Eyes, where they're spying on each other, and all the intel agencies at some point at the top are spying each other, whether it's Russian GRU, Brazilian Security Police, or Interpol. But people need to understand the behavior of Steele and Strzok and everybody is SOP. So the problem is a very deep well. This is not something that's just got one bad apple that's doing something bad. If he actually does go to state's evidence and tell the truth and somebody gives him a way of opening it up, everybody in the agency to some extent is guilty, which is why probably why Ray and even these other people are covering him up by even redacting names, not that there are security issues, but over the fact it's embarrassing to the DOJ and the FBI, because the entire agency, the entire DOJ, is guilty to some extent of some misdoings that are tied to a standard operational procedure, and Strzok is just another example of an entire culture that's pervading through the entire agencies.
Well, Strzok is also part of a bigger family of Strzoks that are directly connected and have a long history with Obama. And Obama's ties to Dennis McDonough and Dennis McDonough's connections with Peter Strzok, his brother Devin Strzok, who are connected with General James Cartwright, of all people, going way back. And there's a long-standing history of the Strzoks being involved with this kind of espionage and covert operations, and this spying type of. And it's there's a good article over on American Digital News. It's not even that new. It's from February 2018. It says the Obama and Strzok family connection that spans decades. The Obama and it basically says this is Peter Strzok. He is in his 40s. He works for the FBI. He was the only person to interview Hillary Clinton with no recording on her HRC email investigation. Then, you know, of course, he was on the Spygate investigation that was to take down Trump. Then he was brought over to the Mueller investigation. This is a guy, they have 35,000 people at the FBI. They got one guy who happens to hate Trump and love Hillary Clinton. And you got James Comey, his boss, McCabe, his boss. But guess who did the audit on the Uranium One scandal for the Clinton Foundation? Peter Comey, James Comey's brother. So there's so much conflict. You have 35,000 FBI agents, and you can't find any independence there? There's a lot of corruption going on, folks.
Yeah, and not only that, Comey and his people were involved with HSBC laundering drug money. I mean, people have to understand just how deep this well goes. Look at the $145 million went to the Clinton Foundation, and $500,000 went to Bill Clinton for doing a half-hour speech in Moscow. I mean, this is over the top. And at the same time, there's so much guilt on the part against Clinton. No one's wearing orange jumpsuits. Not Podesta, not Obama. Where's the hell is Obama? They got a compound 3 miles from the White House with a giant wall built around it, and 8 suites, with Valerie Jarrett still in there kind of figuring how they can try to make this the third term of Obama in the background, trying to literally tear down or block every action that Trump does. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. It says here, the father of Peter Strzok is Peter Strzok Sr., and he was in the Army Corps of Engineers. He's actually a career expert in sanctions and nuclear activity in Iran.
Oh.
And then there was Mark Strzok, and there was a Devin Strzok. And it says, the wife of Mark Strzok and mom of Devin Strzok is Marianne Strzok. Marianne is the daughter of General James Cartwright. Devin Strzok is actually Devin Cartwright Strzok. His grandfather, General James Cartwright, was pardoned by Barack Obama on his last day of office. Cartwright was accused of leaking info on Stuxnet, which is a Russian network. Right. Another brother of Peter Strzok is James Strzok, a Jesuit priest working in Kenya. And they spent time in Kenya and in Africa.
Wow.
So, you know, you have a lot going on. There's a lot more information that is involved with the Strzoks and what they were all about and what they were doing. And then, of course, there's this Imran Awan connection to boot, where you're going to see a lot of Democrat congressmen going down in flames very, very soon. And it's the reason why you've seen as many resignations and retirements as we've seen.
Wow. How would we keep up with this news? I mean, we're going as fast as we can go, even with our, these hoverboards or whatever. We can't keep up with it, can we? Even if you're a newsomaniac like us. It's hard, isn't it?
No, it's all coming together, though, and there's a plan. And it'll be interesting to see how all this plays out. But this will be the other wrinkle that I just know Trump is going to deliver on. And I think that it's better to keep people like Rosenstein close to you, because they're locked down and locked in. They're damned if they get out, and they're damned if they stay in. And they're trying to pick the lesser of two evils. I think that Trump already knows what the game plan is going to be for someone like a Rosenstein and a Mueller. They know which directions they have to go.
They have to do a very timely shutdown of the Mueller investigations and the Russiagate.
Well, yeah, but they know that they have to also cover up the Uranium One corruption. And so they know exactly. I think that they probably were not surprised at all that Rosenstein picked Mueller and that Mueller picked the team that he picked. It was all part of the history of it.
I'm not going to believe the swamp is empty unless I see people in orange jumpsuits in maximum security prisons with all yard time, no internet, and no book tours. How's that?
Me too, brother. Me too.
Well, I'll tell you, it's never boring, is it?
No, never. It's exciting.
If you're bored, you're not paying attention.
No.
I think Trump is going to be our greatest president ever. And if he accomplishes what I think in the next 2 years before the 2020 elections, he's going to sail through with a giant majority and a giant Congress and Senate, and he's going to change America for decades with the Supreme Court. At least two more judges, I expect, by the end of his second term, five judges in total he'll appoint, according to Napolitano. Amazing.
A pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. And listen to the NutriMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.